Pot Radio Network is pleased to present Encounter, a public service program here on KSIV that spotlights local Christian events and provides information and resources to enrich your lives. And now, your Encounter host, Judy Redling.
Recently, I had to consider whether being secretary of an organization really fit into my busy schedule. And I knew I could do the job, but was it time for me to bow out and let someone else take over? Sometimes I have trouble saying no when people ask me to do something. Do you? Well, I have the professor of Christian counseling at Reformed Theological Seminary in Charlotte, North Carolina, Jim Neuheiser, with me. And he wrote a book, If You Have Trouble Saying No, This Interview Is For You. Jim, welcome to Encounter.
Thank you so much. I'm really glad to get to be with you.
An interesting topic, Jim, about saying no. I don't need boundaries. I can do anything I want to do, right?
Well, I think we all have boundaries in that if you say yes to one thing, you're implicitly saying no to other things. We have to say no to something because we're finite, but sometimes we get ruled by secondary demands.
So tell me, what prompted you to write your book?
I think there are a couple of things I had in mind. There's a lot of talk about boundaries from a more of a psychological standpoint that I think is very horizontal between me and others, and it left out the vertical dimension of the Lord. And so my concern would be some people, when they think about boundaries, they think about, well, I'm going to stop pleasing other people, and I'm going to instead take care of number one and please myself. And the summary of my book is, don't go from pleasing people to pleasing yourself. Our focus should be pleasing God as we decide what we can and cannot do with our time or our other resources.
So when we think about setting boundaries and setting our own limits and our time or our resources so that we don't become overcommitted, what are some of those boundaries you address well in this book, and what should we address well?
Well, I think it gets down to having an understanding, broadly speaking, biblically, of what God has called us to be and to do, but that also to consider our own lives. Like you mentioned, being a secretary of something, and that might be good for one person at one point in their life and not wise at another point, as you are examining, you know, the Psalm 90 says, teach us to number our days, establish the works of our hands. And so how can I, with my time, my resources, best serve and please God? And some of the specific answers might be different for me than for you or for somebody else. And even at different times of life, like my wife, when we were raising small children, there were things she could not do in terms of ministry. Now that we have an empty nest, she's the Titus II woman who's involved helping younger women and mentoring people. You know, back when she was raising kids, if she would have neglected them because of ministry demands, that would have been unwise in terms of her season of life.
And it's really hard when you have ministry demands to not think about putting them first, because you think, well, God probably set this in front of me so I can put it almost over my family.
I love that statement you made, because Paul does that very thing in 2 Corinthians 2, where he talks about an open door of ministry being given to him, even from the Lord. But he determined that God had given him a different priority at that time in his life. And so he had to leave that open door and go to this other place that he viewed as more important. A lot of the counseling my wife and I do is with pastors and missionaries and wives and sometimes seminarians. And I think one of the great problems in many ministry marriages is the mentality that the ministry is everything. And then family is neglected, which can often lead to bitterness and waywardness. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7, he says, it's good if you don't want to be married. But he says the person who's married has to be worried about pleasing their spouse. Meaning, if you're going to choose to be married, you've taken on that obligation. And biblically, you're not qualified to lead in ministry if you're not caring well for your family. And yes, that means sometimes you'll have to say no to ministry to be able to take care of your children and your wife, husband, whatever your situation may be.
Yeah, you know, it's a really fine line, isn't it, Jim?
We need wisdom. We pray for wisdom from different situations, and we examine our lives, I guess, in terms of looking back. Have I spent the last week in a way that I think was properly demonstrating the priorities God has given me, spending the time I should with my wife and my children, ministry, et cetera? And sometimes, you know, Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man brings a snare. I think the snare can be we're afraid to say no because we don't want to disappoint people. And then the snare is that we get caught up in doing what they want and giving in. Maybe they're not being malicious, but they're making demands that take us away from things that biblically should be more important.
Jim Neuheiser's book, Do I Need Boundaries? If you are saddled with that burden because you can't figure out, let's look at the role person's goals play in setting boundaries. Maybe you could address that a little bit.
Yes, I think that our goals are broadly speaking biblically. And so 2 Corinthians 5:9 is a very important verse to me in my book, in that Paul says our aim is whether absent or present, meaning whether dead or alive, our aim is to be pleasing to him. And just setting that in the front end, my goal is not to make people like me. Paul says in Galatians 1:10, if I was trying to please people, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. That doesn't mean I want to displease people all the time, but my primary goal has to be to please God, which sometimes means I'll have to displease others. And then I'm also determining my calling. In Nehemiah, when I think it's Sanballat is saying, come do this or that, and Nehemiah basically says, I'm doing something that God has called me to do. I don't have time for you. And those guys weren't exactly friends, but at the same time, he had a sense of his calling. And so then my calling now is I'm teaching my students, I'm involved in our church, I'm a husband to my wife, and I want to allocate my time and my energy according to my understanding of those priorities. And that will mean sometimes having good opportunities that I cannot take advantage of because the different situation. And there's actually something going on in my wife's and my life right now is we've been in a wonderful time of ministry with traveling and speaking, and my wife is going to undergo some cancer treatment in a few weeks, and she's not going to be allowed to be around people other than me for a considerable period of time. And so my goal is to be the best husband I can, to keep the vows I made 46 and a half years ago. And that will keep me from doing other good things, but having to say no because I need to be here.
So, Jim, you bring up some really interesting points. And my question to you, what makes a boundary biblical?
Well, there's some boundaries that are specifically biblical. And so I talk about some of this in the book, even in specific situations where you have a young woman, she sees her friends getting engaged, and she wants to be married. And the scripture says in Deuteronomy 7, you should not marry outside of the community of God's people. And 1 Corinthians 7:39 says only to marry in the Lord. And so there's a specifically biblical boundary in terms of the commands of scripture. Sometimes there are principles of wisdom, like debt is a bad thing, and we want to avoid that, although it's not always sinful if you're wisely managing your finances. And so some boundaries are very explicitly biblical. There are other situations where, as we've talked about already, that I have a sense of my calling from God. I've chosen to be a husband. I've chosen to be a seminary professor. I've chosen to be a pastor in my church. So now I have to fulfill those callings according to the ability and time that God gives me. One thing that amazes me is we look like, if you want to be specifically being biblical, you think of the life of Jesus, where he often had people he disappointed. He had been given a task to do by the Father. He died at half my present age. He was only an adult for a very short period of time, yet he accomplished everything the Father had given him to do. But that often involved going away from crowds that wanted him to do things. He sometimes escaped from people who were trying to harm him. So he had limits. He had certain people he was very close to. He couldn't be very close to every single person. And in John 17, he said he had accomplished the work the Father had given him to do. Ephesians 2:10 says that God has planned good works for us to do after he saved us. And part of it is determining in my own life, what is that calling? And then being intentional about designing my life, my time, my energy around what God has called me to do, sometimes explicitly in scripture, sometimes personally to me, which then also gives me the confidence to be able to say, I'm sorry, I can't do all the things other people want me to do.
Yeah, and the devil tries to trip me up when I say, I just can't do that right now. We hear that voice of the enemy that nags us about something and makes us feel guilty. Isn't that right, Jim?
Yes, and sometimes that voice may be audible coming from another person who really wants us to do something. And are you too important for me? Or you don't really care about me? And we can be manipulated. And that's where we think, you know, there are times Proverbs 29:25 says we should not fear man. Paul says in Galatians 1 he shouldn't be a people pleaser. Yet Romans 15 says, in a sense, we should not please ourselves as Christ did not please himself. So there are times when we humble ourselves and we think it's God's calling on us to be sacrificial of our time, our energy, our resources, to care for people who are weak and needy. But there are also times when we'll disappoint them because of our understanding of a situation and our calling in that situation not to do it. But people can heap some guilt on you. I mean, this can happen in families where you mean you're not going to be with us at Christmas and Thanksgiving this year? And you know, are you really, you know, a bad parent or a bad child? And why can't you help us? We've always been able to depend upon you before to do this thing at church. And you know, there are times we ought to be doing the thing at church. But I know people who are always doing the thing at church and they're not spending enough time with their spouse.
Yeah, I love it that you talk about Jesus setting his own boundaries. That's so important, Jim, but that gives us the example that we need to realize if Jesus set his own boundaries, we need to also set our own boundaries. And you talked a little bit about the misuse of boundaries. People get to getting more involved in church or their occupation than they are in their family lives. Jim, before we go on, how can people get a copy of your book, Do I Need Boundaries?
Well, I'm sure New Growth, who is the publisher, would be happy for you to go to their website, but it's also available on Amazon. My name is pretty easy. If you type in Neuheiser, my books pop up pretty fast.
Let's give people the spelling of your last name.
Neuheiser.
So, Jim, we got 1 minute left. What tips would you give people in closing about boundaries?
I would go back to where we began in that we can be so pressured to give in to people, then we get frustrated, we may be bitter, we may be overwhelmed, we can't get it all done. But again, the answer is not to say, well, now I'm going to have me time, now I'm going to take care of myself, but rather my purpose in life, whatever I do, eat, drink, work, serve, is to be done to the glory of God. Then I want to look to the Word of God to give me guidance, and I want the Spirit of God to help me to have wisdom as I face these decisions. But I think even just making the focus not pleasing others, not even pleasing yourself, but how can I please God, will make most of our boundary decisions simple.
Jim Neuheiser, professor of Christian counseling at Reformed Theological Seminary in Charlotte, North Carolina. Do I Need Boundaries is his book. Get it on Amazon or contact New Growth Press. Jim, thanks so much.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
I'm Judy Redlich. This is Encounter.
This has been Encounter with Judy Redlich. Informing listeners on local Christian events and matters that affect your lives. Spread the word and invite people to listen to Encounter on KSIV or online at botradionetwork.com.
If you've listened to me at any time at all, or you've been friends with me, you know that I love to help people tell their story. Another thing I enjoy doing is helping people find their highest potential. If you're in a life's rut and you just can't figure out how to get past your stuck place, a life coach like me could help. Let me walk with you through your journey of transition. I'm a Christian life coach, and to find out more about my coaching, go to my coaching page at judyredlich.com or email me at jredlichspeaks@gmail.com.
Check out more of Judy's interviews at judyredlich.com. That's JUDYREDLICH.com. Or email her at judyredlichspeaks@gmail.com. Friend her on Facebook, connect with her on LinkedIn. And if you want to learn how your business could be a sponsor on Judy Redlich's website, email her at jredlichspeaks@gmail.com.